Amen. We're going to prepare our hearts, amen, to receive the word of God. Let's greet our pastor with a hearty praise the Lord.
Amen. Truly, we do thank God for being here tonight. Amen. How many are really looking forward to going up yonder?
Amen.
To be with our Lord. We thank God, amen, tonight for being in the house of prayer. Bishop Thomas's father's services are going to be Sunday from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. will be the viewing. Then Monday morning from 9 to 10 will be a viewing, and the service will start Monday morning at 10 a.m. And I believe all the services will be at the Church of Jesus Christ, 562 Clinton Avenue. Amen? So truly we do thank God. We thank God for my wife being here. We thank God for all of you. There's so many of us, give yourself a hand so that you hear God. We thank God. Amen. As we said, I actually was debating which message I was going to use. I prepared two, but I wasn't sure which one to use because I really didn't feel as though we had ample time on Sunday. I wish more people were here because the church is really asleep. Even saved people in church are sleeping. Amen. There are so many secondary issues controlling our lives that we're missing the primary issue, and as they said, our soul salvation is well with the Lord. So many things are distracting the church. Amen. And for Paul to write to the church, then they need to wake out of sleep. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? How can the church be asleep? So I just feel as though we will continue. I would actually revisit what we went over on Sunday, even though I share both notes. Amen. And I was speaking to Mr. I was debating it, but when I spoke to Minister Simon yesterday, he kind of helped lead me the right way. Amen. So we want to wake out of sleep. You know, people are dying and going to hell all around us. And we fail to realize that when God saved us, he called us to be what? Witnesses. And we are daily witnesses. We're not a part-time witness, but God calls us to be a witness all the time. So you have to ask yourself a question. Have I been lulled to sleep by the adversary? Amen. That's something that we have to ask. You know, when God and spiritual things become secondary, then there should be an alarm that goes off within our soul. When God and spiritual issues, now I'm not saying be all heavenly bound and earthly no good, because we know we have to do the things that are here on earth. But when I said when God's issues or things concerning God take such a back seat that we can wake up and go daily without praying and reading our Bible and speaking to God, then that shows that we are asleep. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So let's start writing our notes. Amen. I'm going to read quickly over what we went over Sunday because I want to get into some other things. Now normally we know in 2 Timothy, the third chapter, it talks about perilous times shall come. Well, what the Lord impressed me upon me this time to do is we're going to break down each one of those components of the perilous times to find out which one of those may apply to us. Because the most important thing is we want to hear the Lord say, well done, thy good and what?
Faithful.
Now the question is, if you want to hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant, are you being a servant? And the term that he used for servant is bondservant. That means our will is given over to the will of another. Right? Our will is given over to the will of another. So our will should be given over to God because we are his bondservant. So we don't dictate to him, but we do as he says. So we want the Lord to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Now we have to personally assess it within our own life. Am I a faithful servant? Right? Because if you think of slavery and the master, the slave never tells the master what to do. Amen. Even Jesus gave an illustration. He said, even those of you that are servants, say, if you're going out and you work in the field all day, you come into the house, you still have to serve the master before you sit down and eat. Why? Because we are servants. Well, I think because so many people have watered down the truth of salvation, we fail to realize that God calls us to a higher calling. So we say, well, God doesn't expect all of that of us. Yes, he does. He said, if any man come after me, let him first deny who? Now, that's the question we need to ask. What are we denying ourselves of to show God we're following him? Now, we're not just denying ourselves for the fun of it, But we deny ourselves so we can what? Follow him. Amen. So let us go back to Matthew, the 16th chapter. And I'm just going to read these four verses quickly. And if I don't, I won't rush through it because, as I said, I want to make sure that we're not asleep. I definitely want to make sure I'm not asleep. Amen. I want to make sure that I'm hearing God. Amen. Because when you're asleep, you don't hear God. God moves all around you. God speaks to you on a daily basis, but you cannot hear him because you are spiritually asleep. So verse 1 reads, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came. Now we know the Pharisees and the Sadducees were bitter enemies. They did not believe the same. But the enemy can come on same terms when they're dealing with somebody God. Amen. The enemies will come on the same term when they're dealing with someone godly. How much more should we as a church come on the same terms? We should never be enemies. Amen. We should all be one. And tempting desired him that he would show them a what? He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern signs of the times. We'll stop there. So the issue that we want to deal with tonight is, what are the signs of the time? Amen. As I said, news media, the social media, are talking about, we seem like we're living in apocalyptic times. They don't know the Lord. How much more should we in church know that God is stirring or doing something? Amen. 1 Chronicles 12:32 reads, and the children of Issachar, which were men that had, we should have understandings of the time, because we're living in the last time, understanding of the time, to know that what Israel ought to do. Tonight, do we know what we ought to do? Amen. We're living in a day and time. Do we know what we ought to do? Romans 13, verses 11 through 14. And that knowing, we're knowing what? We understand the time. We know the time. That now it is. Now, who's he writing to? The unsaved or the saved? He says, time to awake. And awake, I bring this up, is ergero, through the idea of collecting one's spiritual. What? We want to collect our, not the natural carnal stuff, but our spiritual faculties to awaken. That is, roused literally from sleep, from sitting alive, from disease, from death, or figuratively from obscurity. Right? What is it? Inactivity. Amen. We've been saying this a lot in church. I know when we were first down to St. John's, we had to do something challenge. I wonder today, how much are we doing for God? If we ever just, you ever do an assessment? How much do I do for God? Amen. I know we can't do all God, but am I really active? Am I telling people about being saved? Am I living a life? So part of being asleep, of waking up, you have to wake up from inactivity. Ruins are, you just can't be a pew sitter in this day and age. We should all be doing something, all right? Out of sleep. So he said, now it's our time to awake out of sleep. Sleep is the Greek word hypnos. And obviously, what word do we get from hypnos? Hypnosis, hypnotism, or hypnotize. All right? So when you're in sleep, hypnos means something else is controlling you. Hypnos. Right? When you're hypnotized, hypnosis, hypnosis. Somebody's. When you're in hypnosis, that means that someone else is controlling you. They're putting you in a trance. Amen? Spiritual inactivity. Spiritual stupor. Spiritual lethargy. This is what sleep is. Spiritual stupor. You know, you ever hear people say, I don't know what I'm doing. That's bad. Amen? Because we're saved. We ought to always know what we're doing. Spiritual stupor, spiritual inactivity. A lot of us, our lives are busy, but do we have anything included in the spiritual in being busy? spiritual activity, spiritual lethargy, the God of sleep and Greek mythology. I thought that was pretty amazing to find out that in Greek mythology, they had a god called Hypnos. And he was the god of sleep. Amen. So Paul is writing to them, and he's writing to them, and he's dealing with them in the Greek. He said, you all are following the wrong god because you have been hypnotized. Amen. You're following the wrong god because you have been hypnotized by this god Hypnos, a false god. Are you with me? For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of who is he writing to? The church. Cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Well, what was the work of darkness? Let us walk. Now that's the number one issue. You got to walk. If you want to cast off the work of darkness, you got to be honest with yourself. Amen. I like what Paul says in Corinthians, said one of the biggest challenges that every saved individual has is measuring ourselves by ourselves. And the scripture says comparing ourselves with ourselves. He said that is not wise. Amen. If we measure ourselves by ourselves and compare ourselves with ourselves, the scripture said that is not wise. Amen. So we have to be honest. We have to be honest. You know, a lot of we make many excuses for why we are not doing for God. But if you're going to cast out the work of darkness, you got to be honest. Amen. Let us walk honestly as in the day and not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and now we say you don't want to walk in darkness, you want to come awaken and come out of darkness, you want to come out of sleep. So he said you can't make provision for your flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a but it should not come as a thief in the night for the church, because we're supposed to be watching. We're supposed to be alert. So it should come as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in the church should not be in darkness. The scripture says men love darkness rather than light because they are Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the light in us. So how can we have light in us and be in darkness if we are asleep? We can. But if we are awake, we can. Amen. But ye brethren are not in darkness, and that they should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do. Who is he writing to?
Church.
You mean Paul is dealing with people in the church that are asleep? Yes. Amen. Because you know what the biggest problem with people that are asleep in church? They are self-governed. That's what we'll go over a little later. They're not spirit-led, but they are self-governed. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are. So if you're not led by the Spirit of God, then you're not a son of God. So who is governing our lives? Who's controlling? Who's dictating what we do and how we act? Amen. Is it God or is it self? The number one enemy of what I've heard it said so many times that we have to overcome is self. Amen. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be what? Sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So now we're trying to get up. We want to wake out of our spiritual stupor if we're in one. We want to awake out of, spiritual inactivity or spiritual lethargy. How do we do that? Be therefore. If you follow God, you can't be lazy. If you follow God, you can't be inactive. If you follow God, you should not be in a stupor. We have to follow God as what? Dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savior. But, now he's going to give a list of some things to let you know that you're in, you're asleep or you're in darkness. He's going to deep. What I like about God is he doesn't leave everything up to our mind or leave it up to ambiguity to figure out what we have to do. God writes the vision and he makes it plain. You don't have to guess what it is. He says, but fornication and all uncleanness. Now these are different types of sexual sin. Uncleanness is men marrying men, women with women. That is uncleanness, all right? Or covetousness. Let it not once be as becoming. So these things should not be among those that are saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now, who is he writing to?
Church.
Amen. The Corinthians had a big problem. They had a lot of sexual immorality within the Corinthian church. So Paul was constantly trying to correct them. He said, let no man deceive you with
word.
Don't let people tell you you are right when you know you aren't. Amen. For because of these things come the wrath of God upon the children of be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye light. Ye were in darkness, but now ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and if you're not living the truth, that is not God's Spirit. Amen. If you're living in deception, that is not God's Spirit. As he told the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he said, ye hypocrites, if you're living in hypocrisy, that is not the truth. Because when you live that way, you're not proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. You can only prove that by living in the truth. I don't care how much of a facade we put up a masquerade, it's not the truth. That is not acceptable with God. And have no fellowship with our fruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now, if you look at this at face value, we know what darkness is and fellowship with them. But what he was dealing with way back then, they had something called like they have down in Mardi Gras, where they would actually they had these occult practices. They would dress up in the cartoons. I mean, not in the cartoons, but costumes, walking around. And you know how they ended their fellowship? They always had a king and a person that they named King Bacchus. Right? If you study Mardi Gras, one of the main things they have with all of their parade, and that's just a whole lot of ungodliness. But at the end of Mardi Gras, they always have someone they set up as King Bacchus. So this is nothing new. Amen. But those are the unfruitful works of darkness. If I have no, well, I just want to go to Mardi Gras and see what it'll be like. You're not supposed to be a part of that. Those are the unfruitful works of what? Darkness. Amen? So sometimes you got to do a little further study to find out what are these unfruitful works of darkness that Paul was talking about. Amen? For it is a shame to speak of those things which are done of them. And we all we know how bad Mardi Gras is. You know, almost every country has a form of this Mardi Gras. And this is something the Lord warned us about, naming someone King Bacchus. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by light. For whosoever doth make manifest is, whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he says, wait a minute, the church is asleep. Awake thou that what? And arise, and Christ shall give thee. He's writing to the Corinthian church. He said, you need to wake out of sleep. And what kind of death? You know, well, you know, they couldn't rise themselves from the dead, so what kind of dead were they? They were what? Spiritually dead, right? So he said, you got to get out of that spiritual stupor. You got to get out of that spiritual lethargy. You got to get out of your spiritual activity. You need to arise from the dead, and when you start moving, God will give you life. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as redeeming the time, because the days are, I love this scripture, wherefore be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So he's writing to the church. He said, you got to wake out of sleep. You got to rise from the dead. He said, now you need to not be unwise, but you need to understand what the will of the Lord is. When you're in a stupor, when you are asleep, you don't understand God's will. Amen. You're not walking in wisdom. God is wisdom. Amen. When you're not awake, you make foolish, unwise decisions. Amen. Now let's go on to Matthew, the 25th chapter. We're all familiar with this. Now this is Jesus speaking. Verse 1, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. So God has always had the wise, and he's always had the foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil. What good is the oil? What good is a lamp without oil? You know that's foolish, right? Because back in that day, they didn't have street lights. They couldn't walk in a room and turn on electricity. The only way they got light was from their lamps, right? So they're taking their lamps, but they don't take any oil with them. How foolish can you be? They have a lamp and have no oil. Amen? But the wise took all in their vessels with their lamp. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Now tonight, I just want, let's have success. You know, it's not important for you to, husband to judge the wife to judge the husband, the brothers to judge the sisters, or sisters to judge the brother. But let us judge ourselves. Am I wise or am I foolish? Amen. Am I wise or am I foolish? While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet them. Now, they were all asleep. They were all just slumbering. They were all lethargic. But when the cry was made, the wise said, it's time for me to wake up. Amen. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily, I say unto you, they were all virgins. Right? But God did not recognize the foolishness. He didn't even know them. So he said, do what? Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. You know what? We need to put oil in our lamps. We need to make, you know what he said basically? Make your spiritual preparations. Amen. Don't wait till things fall apart, but be ready. The psalmist said, early will I seek you. Before trouble come, I seek you. That way when trouble come, I've already made my preparations. I've already set up my account, and I'm already ready. Now, this is where we're going to get into this, and we'll go as far as we can. All right? This is Paul writing to Timothy. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. Then we'll come back to the notes. Let me just go there quickly. All right? Even though I know most of us know this probably like the back of our hands, but these are some of the characteristics or the habits of those that are in church but asleep. Amen. Those that hear the word but don't hear the word. So the third chapter of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 1, read, "This know also that in the last days," what time? What kind of time? "Perilous times shall come. For men shall," he names that first. He said, you know what? The number one indicator is everybody going to have a love for themselves. People are going to be wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in self, when they ought to be wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in Jesus. Love for themselves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Does that sound like today?
Amen.
It definitely sounds. He said, know this in the last time. Amen. The men of Issachar understood the time that they were in, and they knew what to do. Now, we understand the time. The question is, do we know what to do? Amen. Do we know what to do? Without natural affections, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of... I know this on everybody's sheet. Lovers of what? More than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but Paul said, if you're around somebody like that from such, you gotta do what? You gotta avoid them, shun them. Don't be a part of that, amen? Now let's go back to our notes. So now we're trying to highlight or identify some of the characteristics of the last time of those that are asleep. Amen. As I said on Sunday, the devil has put a lot of us in his rocking chair. He's just rocking us asleep. He's lulling us asleep, just rocking us asleep. Right? Because we feel so comfortable and we don't realize that the devil is all he's doing is setting us up for a great fall. It's time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer. Amen. Can you imagine the longer you live, you should realize the closer we should be getting to God. Not the longer we live, unfortunately, some of us have backslidden and gotten away from God. How do you live for God this long and go wrong? Because they're in a stupor. They are definitely dead. When you backslide, you're definitely dead. You know, Proverbs 14:14 says, the backsliding heart is filled with his own ways. The backsliding heart. You know what the problem is? Is you're self-centered. The backslider is full of self. But he concludes that verse, he said, but a good man is satisfied from himself. You know what that means? A person that backslide is all about them. But a person that loves the Lord is all about God. So they don't care about them. Their whole desire is to please God. Amen? This know also that in the last days, perilous. Now, I tried to break these words down, but if you like me, I read them, but a lot of them, I thought I had an idea, but I wasn't sure. But if I'm going to overcome something, they need to know. Amen. If we're fighting an enemy, don't we need to know who the enemy is? If we're trying to overcome something, don't we need to know what we're trying to overcome? Well, then it's our due diligence to try and figure out what it is. Amen. It's not up to God. God puts it out there because it's the glory of the Lord to conceal a thing. But it's the honor of kings to do what? Search out the matter. So God puts it out there. Now it's our responsibility. If you want to be saved and hear the Lord say, well done, thy good and faithful servant, you need to start searching out the matter. Even Jesus said, you need to search the scriptures. Amen. Stop going by what people say. You know, throughout my life, I'm only a couple of years old, like 20, 30, something like that. But even when I was a young kid, right, I used to read the Bible all the time, and I didn't understand it. But I would get in situations, and it's amazing how God would reveal the word to you in the midst of a crisis. Right. I wasn't saved. Now listen, I wasn't saved. I didn't know anything, but I read the Bible every day. I used to read the Bible 3 times a day. Amen. Pray 3 times a day. Because that's all I knew. So God honored me for what I did. But God would always manifest scriptures to me, and I was always shocked when I understood what they meant, because I was unlearned. I was like the apostles, right? But because I love God's word, God would, man, even when I got saved, I remember I used to ask, you know, in my former church, I would ask questions that they couldn't answer, and it always amazed me that that God would reveal, now I didn't know more than them, I'm saying certain things, all right? You understand what I'm saying? But when you study God's word, we have a love for God's word, God will reveal stuff to you, especially when you get in a crisis situation. You might have to go ask people because God will reveal it to you. Amen? So perilous is the Greek word kelepos, means it's going to be fiercely difficult. If we ever live in a time that's difficult, it's difficult today. Hard to manage, intractable, hard to do or deal with, difficult, hard to bear, painful, and grievous. These are the times that we're living in, painful and grievous. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Let me ask you a question, and this has always been my position. As you get older, do your parents ever stop being your parents? Right? So if you're supposed to honor your parents, at what point do you stop honoring them? Right? If you're not supposed to disrespect your parents, at what age do you get when you disrespect your parents? I've always been amazed to see when people are old, just because I was older. Like I said, my mom and dad put me, even when I, a few years ago, my wife, you know, my father didn't have a truck. So he's passed now, so he won't hear this. But my father didn't have a truck, so I took my truck down to him and I let him use the truck. Well, I let him use it in the beginning, then I just gave it to him because I had 4 vehicles, he didn't have one, so my conscience bothered me. So that's my favorite truck, it's a Silverado too, extended cab. Had the motor, email, everything. But I gave it to him. So when we got the little bus, I went to insure the bus. And the guys tell me all these accidents and stuff I heard people got hurt and stuff. It's like, I had no accidents. So I said, listen, you need to do an investigation to find out how I had no accidents. You know, and people got all these thousands of dollars in medical bills. Like, man, what are you talking about? So he said, oh yeah, but let me find out. He said, oh, it happened in Atlanta, Georgia, on such and such a street. I said, oh, okay. Yeah, one of them happened in my father's church's parking lot. So I was like, man, I couldn't believe my dad let it happen like that. And I didn't know how he sold them off that he was me. I'm like, how did he do that? So I was really upset. So I just said, I said, hey Dad, in the future, if anything happened to me, because you're supposed to disrespect your parents, right? I did. I said, well, if anything happens, it wasn't that bad. I said, well, they said it was. It wasn't that bad. It wasn't a little bit fingerman. I said, well, people went to the hospital and stuff. I said, Dad, I couldn't even get my insurance. He said, well, I don't know what they're talking about. I said, okay, well, Dad, I'm helping you out. I'm gonna help you insure that truck in your name and put the registration in your name. He said, I don't have the money. I said, I'll send it to you tomorrow. Right? But I didn't disrespect him, you know, because he's still my father. I just said, I just wish I had known. And my brother said, we saw he did this. So nobody ever told me. Well, I'm saying, we should never get to the point where we disrespect our parents. We can be firm and try to help them along, but we should never disrespect them, amen, because they're still our parents, okay? All right, so I don't know what was it. So lovers of their own selves. Let's start with this list. The Greek word for lovers of themselves is philo, Phil Altos, which is pretty self, almost self-sufficient. Phil is friend or love, Alto is self. So that tells you that it's a lover of who? Self. So lovers of self, they are self-centered. Now we're talking aside. We want to wake out of sleep. Amen. We want to be able to identify some of the characteristics of the time. Number one, are you self-centered? Describes a person totally absorbed with, full of him or herself. Amen. This is what lovers of their selves are. It's equivalent to making an atomic bomb. This is the equivalent, right? One of the important steps is to build a core that implodes in order to create enough energy to set off the chain reaction. So when you all call up in self, you're like an atomic bomb. Is everything is imploding. You know, imploding means it comes from where? The inside, right? Simply exploding device does not provide the critical pressure and temperature. The bomb must begin by turning in on Paul uses the same idea of inward focus to describe the first spiritual destructive behavioral sign of the last days. That's a what? The first spiritually destructive behavioral sign of the last days. And then I tried to give a scripture reference with that, Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Well, if you deny yourself, you won't be all self-absorbed and self-centered, and take up his cross and follow me. Covetous, once again, is filled. We know that's what? To love or be fond of. Argyros is money. So philargyros is fondness for money. It's the mistake of elevating material gain over God's approval. Loving money, synonymous with the sin of covetousness, avarice reveals when the blessing substitutes and replaces the Like people get the job, say, God bless me so much. And they don't come to church. That money from God. Amen. God bless me with this house. Well, why don't you come to church? You don't know how much you got to do. The blessing has replaced the blesser. Amen. We've seen that happen over and over again. People get into a place where they're really blessed. And then they forget. He told them and the children of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy, beware lest after you have eaten and are full, you what? Forget the Lord. He said, now you got to remember. You keep talking about all of this that you got to do and all that you have to have. And remember, I'm the one that gave you power to get wealth. So you can't forget the blessing because you are blessed. Anybody say, God has blessed me so much, and their life is not in tune with God, you have to ask them a question. And did God bless you to bless you, or did he bless you because the goodness of the Lord is intended to lead you to repentance? Right, so sometimes God will bless us. Some of us have such weak constitution, God said, if I don't bless them, I can't even get a little of their attention. Because if I don't bless them, they're going to just wallow in self-pity. So God blesses us to get our attention. Then when he gets our attention, it's not to take us further away from him, but it's intended to bring us to him. But when you are so caught up in the blessing, you forget how you got your blessing. That's covetousness. Ephesians 5:3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be. Don't let that be named amongst you that become it. How many of us are saints? Then we don't want that stuff named among us. Right? We can't be all caught up in money. Boasters. Amen. Boasters, you have to be careful. Boasters talk about all that they do. That's a dangerous position. Because first of all, they left the Lord out. And Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So you have to watch out for boasters. Boasters is like the man that Barnes grew. He barned and he was blessed. He said, I will do this, and I will do that, and I will tear down my bars, and I will build greater, and I will say to myself, and I will say that he was self-centered too. Everything was about him. You know what the Lord told him? Thou fool, this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. And then who shall those things that I have built be? So we have to be careful, amen?
Amen.
Boasters, a lazar, refers to someone full of, even in church, you have people who are fully empty talk. They talk about all they're going to do and do nothing. And that's a boaster, right? Because your works should back up your words. A boaster talk about all they would do, but it's nothing more than empty talk. And in desperate search of being recognized for something he or she really isn't. A boaster is an imposter. He uses empty boasts that are not true to fact or experience. He makes unsupportable false claims to make an impression on others when in fact it is only talking in a loud, aggressive, or indignant way with boasters. All they do is talk, but they don't do anything. Boasters got all the plans, but never have to do anything with the work. Fueled by arrogance and presumptuous. No wonder the psalmist says, Lord, keep me back from presumptive sin. Presumption. Proverbs 25:14 says, whoso boasts himself of a what?
False gift.
False gift is like clouds and wind. That's all that. You ever see a boaster just say, you ain't nothing but a cloud? No, don't do that. Right? Right? But that's what a boaster is. Cloud and winds without rain. Because we're trying to identify the climate or the character or the nature or behavior of the last day. We need to know what they represent. Amen? Proud is hyper-famous. Proud. Arrogant. You ever see people that are arrogant? Thank God we don't have none here, but you ever see some arrogant people? Arrogant person, you can't tell them nothing. Amen. An arrogant person has 20 demons. They're self-centered, they're boasters. An arrogant person has everything, all right? Arrogant literally outshines, a shine beyond, describes the one drawing attention to self. That's dangerous. Amen. I'll be alarmed if ever I'm in the presence of anyone that ever, all they do is talk about self and not about God. All that I am, or ever, all I am hope to be, Lord, I owe it all to thee. To who? God be the glory. So when you get around a person that's talking about I, that person is way too proud. Amen. We know God should get all the glory. 1 Corinthians 1:29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. James 4:6 says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace. God does what? He resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Blasphemers is from the word blasphemos. What is blasphemous? Reverse spiritual or moral realities. Slanderous, evil speaking about others. Blasphemous can also mean mocking, verbal abuse, and most importantly, speaking in ways that challenges or diminishes the name and authority of God and also of people. Right? That is blasphemous. Although the word is usually focused on abusing God, it can also be aimed at anytime you just run somebody down for no reason, that's blasphemous. That is a sign of the day that we're living in. And 1 Timothy 1:20 said, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander? Now listen to what Paul said. Whom I delivered unto who? Why? That they may learn not that to blaspheme. So that's not a good position to be in. Amen. Blasphemy. He said, I delivered them unto you so they could learn not to blaspheme. Now, when Paul delivered them to say, he's not saying so they be lost, but so that they will come to themselves. Amen. And there's another case, but I won't go to that right now. All right. Disobedient to parents. Disobedient is apathos, an adjective, literally unwilling to be persuaded by God. Showing itself in outward disobedience. Outward spiritual rebellion. Apathos suggests that disobeying parents has a strong connection to what?
Disobeying God.
You know, I was speaking to a policeman, and he was talking about the problems he was having with kids. He said, now listen, when I deal with a kid that don't respect their parents, I don't expect the parent kid to respect me. That's what he said. He said, if a kid don't respect their parents, then I know they won't respect me. Right? So this is all in the same thought of being disobedient to parents. If you don't respect God, you're going to respect your parents, because God is number one. All right, so it's so important that we learn to have respect. Amen? It's a matter of authority. If I'm rebellious, arrogant, and unruly toward my parents, who I can see, how do you suppose I would treat God that I if I'm disobedient to my parents who I can't see, then how am I going to act to God who I cannot see? One models the other. Parents is gonias, and I thought this was good, that's why I brought this out. It's a Greek word for parents. Honor your father and mother, says the law. But sometimes we need a word like gonias to remind us why respect and deference are required towards parents. It is derived from the verb genome, meaning to bring into. Your parents brought you into existence. The word itself means from the base. The idea is plain. Your parents are not only responsible for your very existence, they are also the foundation of your life. That's what Gonias mean. Without them, you are quite literally nothing. So we start with recognition of our debt. We owe them no matter what they came to be or how we were subsequently treated. Of course, God intends parents to model his fatherhood, but even if they don't come close, life for us begins with them, and honor is due. Just think, without your parents, who will be here? Nobody. Right, so you still owe them a debt. And Deuteronomy 5:16 says, honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God. God commands us to honor our mothers and fathers, that thy days may be prolonged, that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now the next one we're going to deal with is unthankful. And it's axaristos, an adjective derived from a, which is not, and zaristai, which means experience grace. So unthankful or axaristos means not experiencing grace. Properly without God's grace or favor, which results in unthankfulness. Literally ungraceful. Naturally goes with the refusal to acknowledge the source of blessing, and hence misses the meaning of the blessing. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Unholy, enosis, enosios. Now whenever you see A in the front of a word, it lets you know what? Not. It's the opposite. Right? Whenever you see the A in front of any degree words, it's the opposite. So it means not reverent or irreverent. Refers to the blatant, callous disregard for what God has declared to be good. Hence, disrespectful of what God ordains is good and what is holy. Hebrews 12:14 reads, follow peace with all men and what?
Holiness.
People say, what's wrong with holiness? Well, if you don't have holiness, guess what? You won't see the Lord. Because without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Amen. And I want let's stop here, all right, for now, because I still have quite a bit left. All right, so we got through the first part. So now, what we're trying to determine is, how do we need to wake up? If any of these have pertained to us, then we need to shake ourselves, right? Because our message on Sunday is, do you know what time it is? Do you know what time it is? And it said the men of Ithaca understood the times, and they knew what to do. Now, we understand the day that we're living in. The question is, do we know what to do? Amen. Our greatest desire should be to get closer to God. And amen. And you can read some of this stuff on your own. Lord willing, if we're here next Wednesday, I'll try to finish this up. All right. But I don't want to be walking asleep. Amen. You know, years ago they had that movie, Night of the Living Dead. Right? We don't want to be walking around here dead. As a saint of God, we should have life. Because when God gave us the Holy Ghost, the Bible says it quickened us. Quickened means to do what? Made alive. So how can we have God? Think about how foolish this is. How can we have the quickening spirit of God in us be dead? How can we have God's spirit in us, which quickens us and makes us alive, and be dead? Then there has to be a battle, there has to be a fight. Well, what's the fight? Self. Right? Self won't let you surrender. Self won't let you submit to God. Amen. So we always say, well, all you have to do is resist the devil and he'll flee from you. I've been heard that so many times, right? But before he says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you, it says, submit to God. Right? So a lot of times the devil never flees. I'm so tired of fighting the same battle. Well, you know, the problem is you haven't submitted to God yet. When you submit to God, then resist whatever's coming against you and it'll flee. So we have to look in our lives and say, well, am I submitting to God? Not to what people are saying, but to what God is saying. Amen? Amen. We're ending. Do we have any questions, any comments?